You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Kevin O'Malley and Craig Forsyth. A good mix on Tuesday as well, racing on the flat at Beverley, all weather action at Lingfield and National Hunt action from Warwick in the afternoon. We also have a Twilight card from Fosslass as well. Right now, joining me to look ahead to the action is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Tired.
You're not being in the sleep, Gary?
No. Plenty of travelling and, you know, just a bit tired. But, yeah, there's no other reason.
No more exciting reason.
Nothing exciting, no, I'm afraid.
Right.
I live a very boring and sheltered life. Or at least try to.
Yeah, okay. Keep yourself out of trouble that way.
Usually.
Better news, Gary, before we get stuck into the Monday, let's move on. Yes, bit of exciting news for the jump fans as well.
Mm-hmm.
Getting more and more jump stories coming out of late. And Nicky Henderson had his annual owners open day this weekend, and he mentions that Altior is not going to go for the champion hurdle after winning the Supreme Novices hurdle last year. He's going to go straight over fences and a tilt at the Arkle instead, which is interesting. An interesting move.
Mm. Yeah, obviously they've schooled him and they decided that's the way to go. He's a big unit, and he's certainly got the size and scope to be jumping fences. And obviously, Nicky Anderson's got a fantastic record with his hurdlers. You look at all the champion hurdles he's won with the likes of See You Then and Punjabi. Obviously, won the champion hurdle binocular as well. And I'm sure there's one or two others that I may well have missed off that just escaped my memory for this moment in time. But yeah, he obviously does well with his chasers too, to be perfectly honest. But if they've decided that they think it's better that he goes down the fencing route, not really in a position to argue with him. the other horse that I'm actually more excited about going over fences is his other horse, Bouverdaire, who's actually behind him in the Supreme Novices hurdle, and obviously what an entry after that, and he's going over fences too. So I'm really excited to see him going back, because I think he might be the better of the two, actually, over fences. Altior's just like a marine. He's just so tough. You look at those races last year, you think, oh, he can't be winning from there. He's off the bridle. But just battles. And I think that will be an asset, obviously, to him over fences, particularly at the bigger festivals like your Cheltenham's. Whether he will win the Arkle is open to debate. Obviously, there's plenty of other horses that are going to be going novice chasing. William Mullins will have plenty of horses to fill that particular bracket. Exciting to see. And we'll see a few more of these horses creeping out now. We're getting towards the back end of September. We've got a decent meeting at Kempton, I think, in a couple of Sundays' time. And there's a few other decent opportunities to see some nice horses. Before that, there was a couple of nice horses around at Toxteth yesterday, and Bally Andy was running at Perth, or will be running at Perth on Thursday, and likewise, potentially, the previous year's bumper winner, whose name escapes me, the Pipe Horse, Moonracer.
Yeah.
So, we'll see them slowly trickling out, and roll on the jump season.
Yeah, before we get to that, though, we've got some good racing still left on the flat. A couple of good days coming up at Newmarket. The Cambridgeshire is not too far away. That's one of the questions in the Monday jury. So let's get stuck into that. First question of the Monday jury, though, is which horse has caught your eye in the William Hill Air Gold, Silver and Bronze Cups?
I suppose you'd have to say the winner of the Gold Cup, Brando, who obviously has been in really good form in decent handicaps this year. He's running some group races too, and I should imagine he'll be going back up to group company. I'm not entirely sure what the plan with him is, but I need to go back and watch them over again, because particularly the Silver Cup and indeed the Bronze Cup, they seemed to all congregate down the middle, didn't they? And I'm sure there were one or two that were sort of more inconvenienced by that than others, depending on obviously where they were drawn. But obviously, I mean, Paul Moran's been very honest. He did get badly hampered on Ocean Showdown, and he was one of the horses that definitely suffered most of the consequence of them all congregating down the middle. It seems nothing to say in a sprint where there's, you know, they can spread out all over the track, but he didn't get a clear run through, and through no real fault of his own, there was just horses falling in the back of his lap, and one horse took a gap that he was going for, and he was left with nowhere to go, unfortunately. So Ocean Sheridan and Brando probably would be the two. Brando obviously will go back into Pat and Company, and Ocean Sheridan will be the, well, hopefully he'll be able to find a race slightly less competitive.
Yep, fair enough. Sticking with the sprint theme, if you bred a sprinter, who would you put it in training with and why?
There's plenty of options, I think. Obviously, Dandy Nichols was renowned as the sprint king, having a bit of a renaissance at the moment, thanks to Orion's Bow and a few other horses. Kevin Ryan, obviously, good record, as we've seen in the Air Gold Cup. But a few people have actually said this in the paper. Robert Cowell would be my personal choice. Obviously, I think he does well with the ammunition that he is given. Potentially actually overperforms. Don't know what he does differently with his horses, but obviously he's won numerous Group 1s, won the Abbey last year, won races at Royal Ascot over the past couple of years as well, and the big sprints there. So Robert Cowell would probably just be my choice, but I think there are plenty of good trainers, plenty of other trainers that possibly don't get the ammunition that they should.
Mm. What sort of chance will Newbury winner Kotai Glory have in the Abbey?
A lot will depend on the draw, and a lot will depend on what the ground conditions are. Personally, I know it's probably one of the weaker races of the day that we have a particularly good record in, but even still, I still think he needs to improve a little bit to be winning a race like the Abbey. But granted, a decent draw, he could easily hit the frame perhaps, but a lot will depend on the draw and where the pace is in the race. Obviously, at Longstraw, you needed to be drawn against the rail. I'm not entirely sure what the bias is like at Shaunty, but I imagine it's something fairly similar. It's quite an odd track. We saw the Ron Harris winner of the trial for that race about 9 days ago now, or 8 days ago now. And the winning line's a good bit after where the usual winning line is, if you see what I mean. So it's just a little bit odd how those races kind of pan out. They have to go on for about a furlong and maybe a bit more beyond the actual winning line that they usually use. But I think he might struggle personally. He could possibly hit the frame, but until we know the draw and ground conditions, it's difficult to say.
Yep. What did you make of 10-length Newmarket maiden winner Sobetsu?
Don't think she did beat a great deal, but obviously couldn't have been that much more impressive winning by 10 lengths. I think be interesting to see whether they race her again. She was still a little bit green, but I think she'll only improve for that outing. We'll have to see where, if she does run again. I think she may well be put away now, one would imagine. But they've got the option of going for the Filly's Mile if they wish. But she, visually, it was impressive. What she beat, I don't know. Don't have a slight inkling that it wasn't perhaps the strongest of races. But, you know, you can't take that away from her. She was that impressive and visually impressive. And whether she runs again or not this year, as I say, remains to be seen. But she was, as I say, visually very impressive.
Mm. Apparently, she's going to go to the Filly's Mile next.
Okay. So that'll be
7th of October.
Yeah. Future Champions Day, on the Friday. Yeah.
Hmm. A little bit of news there. And moving on to the next question. Looking forward, who do you like in the Cambridgeshire this Saturday?
Yeah. Oh, dear. What are we, 12 to 1 the field-ish, something daft like that? It'd be interesting if Celestial Path runs in the race. Obviously, he's been slightly difficult to place last year or so, and I think he's one that definitely appeals to me. He's pretty much guaranteed to get in. Sir Mark Prescott obviously trains him. He's been running in conditioned races, or he certainly entered for a conditioned race. As I say, Sir Mark Prescott has won this race in the past, and if you look at his form as a two-year-old, it stands out a bit. I mean, he's been running in group races. I think he was supposed to run at Bath. I think he got pulled out of that race. He was last seen in action at York. He finished seventh behind Scottish in the Strensel Stakes at the Ebor meeting. He ran an okay race in the big mile race at the glorious Goodwood meeting. He was drawn out in the car park on that occasion as well, and he wasn't beaten. You know, beaten by, he was only beaten five lengths in the end. Strongly run races like this are going to suit him. He's undoubtedly well handicapped. If you go back to his two-year-old form, and obviously, as I say, after last year, it was always going to be slightly difficult to place after he finished fifth in the 2000 Guineas. Albeit we only saw him once after that, and he was pretty disappointing. But I think he's very, very interesting, and I should imagine Samar will have him tuned up and ready to go on the day. So Celestial Path at this stage will be my selection, but again, we'll learn more about the ground, etc., and maybe even the draw on the days leading up to the meeting. They obviously race on Friday as well.
Okay, Celestial Path for Gary in the Cambridgeshire then, and the final question of this week's Monday Jury: what's your opinion of the ITV racing team that is being put together?
I think Ed Chamberlain's a very good appointment. I must admit, I don't really know a great deal about Francesca Cremona. Obviously, I can vaguely remember her working in this country years ago, but obviously she spent most of her time fairly recently in America. Looks as though Nick Luck's going to miss out on the gig, which I think is a little bit harsh. Whether he will keep working in this country, I have no idea, but I wouldn't surprise me if he ended up working in America or somewhere like that. Matt Chapman's got the job in the betting ring, and I'm sure we'll hear more appointments over the next week or so, or the coming weeks. Of more interest to me was the extra races that they're going to be on free-to-air TV. The Craven meeting coming back, a couple more meetings on Channel 4, ITV, the main channel, than we were expecting. Quite a few are obviously going to be on ITV4, which everybody has now, so it's not a huge issue, I don't think. One thing that concerns me a little bit is the huge gap between, you know, they're racing on ITV, will be on ITV on the 1st of January, and then we don't see any racing on the main channel until the Cheltenham Festival, which is a bit of an odd one. But it'd be interesting to see what impact the viewing figures have. Obviously, traditionally, ITV has more audience than Channel 4. Generally, so how it will be marketed, etc., and how the new presenters come across will obviously have a big part into the success of it. Look forward to seeing how that goes on. But obviously, with there being such a big gap between us seeing them on January the 1st and then up until Cheltenham, it'll take a while to formulate sort of strong opinions on that.
Yeah, I mean, much of the debate around it has been ITV is a bigger terrestrial channel than Channel 4, but then they go and stick it on ITV4, which is not.
No, albeit they do get some decent viewing figures for things like the Tour de France, and obviously they've got darts on there now as well, and plenty of other sports. So yeah. I think it's almost ITV4 is becoming almost like ITV Sport. It's like a separate sort of channel, perhaps, maybe.
All right, well, that's the Monday Jury then for another week. Let's move on to Tuesday's racing, unless there's anything else pressing on your mind, Gary, that you want to get off your chest.
No.
Then let's move on to Tuesday's action. Gary's got four races prepared for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at four races on Tuesday, as I mentioned. The first of them is the 3:10 at Beverley. This one is a Class 3 conditions stakes. It's over 5 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, a field of 12 to go to post here, Gary. And quite a good race. There's some decent sprinters in here.
Yeah, we were talking about the Abbe early. We've got an Abbe, former Abbe winner here in the shape of Tangerine Trees, who's won here before in the past. Quite a few of these have actually won here previously. Hey Tude was the winner at Leicester, beating Ornate, who reopposes, actually. fortnight ago. That pairing have to be respected. Likewise, that further up, like Camera Action, who's got a good jockey book in the shape of Cameron Noble. Line of Reason won here, I think it was earlier on in the season, but was disappointing last time out. Caspian Prince won the dash for the second time on Derby Day. David Lochnane now training him. Eastern Impact, bit disappointing at Newmarket last time out. And Mercer, another one who's been running in decent races of late. I'm going to go for the Roger Varian runner, Double Up, who came back off the back of a bit of a break when running in the Portland at Doncaster recently, just 10 days ago, finishing a never nearer fourth. Well drawn. Roger Varian's horse is in good form. Obviously, this horse probably had a bit of a break due to the virus at Roger's Yard. That's why he was off for the length of time that he was. As I say, with a good low draw towards the inside, he's the pick in the 3.10.
On to the next race we look at, which is the 4.30 at Warwick. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase. It's over 3 miles and 1.5 furlongs or so. It's got 9 runners to go to post here. Gary, a couple of these arrive here in winning form, Master D and Let Be So. There's also plenty of them in there with place form next to the name, so it could be quite a competitive race, this.
Yeah, I think so. Of the 9 strong field, there's only, I think, 3 of them that haven't won already this season. Pair of Jacks is a rare sort of raider down this far for Malcolm Jefferson. He won at Cartmel on his penultimate outing and in a slowly run race, finished 7th there last time out. Silverman was 2nd at Cartmel when last seen. He's the previous course winner too. We know that he likes it here. Kilfinchian Bay, Charlie Longston started the season as he always does in pretty good form. This horse won at Uttoxeter in April and has been 2nd on his last 2 starts. Master D was a winner at Newton Abbott when last seen. Been nudged up a couple of pounds in the weights for that. Schindler's Prince, another one who's been winning as well, won at Bangor in July and has been in the frame the last 2 outings. Twirling Magnet isn't the most straightforward of individuals. I'm going to go for Let Be So here. Won at Cartmel over hurdles back in June, and he won back over fences at Southall when last seen. He's gone up another £5 in the weights as a consequence, but Peter Bowen's horse is continuing good form. He had a winner at Uttoxeter on Sunday. So a good little race, I must admit. So I wouldn't completely be in a rush to rule too many of them out that quickly. As I say, most of them are in good form so far this campaign, but Let Be So will get a tentative pick in that 4.30.
Let Me Show then the one for Gary there. Let's move on to the 4.45 at Beverley next. This is a Class 5 handicap. It's over a mile and 100 yards, so almost a mile and a half a furlong. 3-year-olds and older in action for this one. We've got a field of 9 here, Gary. I suppose the logical starting point will be Nonna Blue, who's been runner-up on his last 3 outings. And Michael Wiggum's booked Sylvester D'Souza to try and break that frustrating spell.
Yeah, got a good draw in stall 1 as well. It was 2nd, as you point out, it's been 2nd its last 3 outings, the latter of those coming in a Lady Rider race at Salisbury when last seen. Obvious claims. Back up towards the top of the weights, Hungerford, I'm willing to forgive that run at Sandown last time out. I think he's quite interesting with Tom Marcon booked for the Eve Johnston Houghton team. Gulf of Poets won here in April. Form's not been the most consistent since. Red Charmer was 3rd. With Rowan Scott riding it at Doncaster when last seen. Go back to those 2 wins in May of June and he'd have a good chance. Likewise, Ravenhoe, who won here back in July, been running on the all-weather a little bit and was 3rd at Redcar when last seen. I'm going to go for the Richard Fahey-trained Billy Bond, however, though. Was a winner earlier on in the season, was 2nd at Carlisle when last seen, putting in some good late work, wasn't beaten too far on that occasion as well. He has won here in the past, which will bode well for this horse's chances too. So Billy Bond for Richard Fahey with Adam McNamara riding is the selection in the 4.45.
Billy Bond in the 4.45 then, and on to the final race we look at, which is at Fosslass. It's the 6.25 at Fosslass, a Class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs, 3-year-olds and older in the lineup here, Gary. And we'll start with Pensac's Lad, if we may. he arrives here in winning form.
Yeah, won at Sandown 11 days ago. That was his first victory, turf victory for over 2 years. He's off a £3 higher mark here. Steve Drown riding for the Ron Harris team. Ron's got a couple of runners in the lineup. He also saddles the rather quirky Nocturne Headspace, another one that's been consistent, but is, I think, a little bit quirky, I think it's fair to say. Swirl Edge was a winner at Thirsk on his penultimate outing. Went back there last time out and couldn't really land a blow. Sachsville Flyer, another one who likes to go from the front, and he did actually win here a couple of runs ago, been second and fourth subsequently. Doc Sportello is an interesting runner. Used to be trained by Eddie Lynham. Hasn't been seen since finishing down the field in a handicap in May of this year. New yard, Adam West. I think he was the bloke who played Batman, wasn't he?
He was.
The original Batman.
He was.
Anyway, it was bought quite cheaply at the sales. He's an interesting runner with the blinkers on for the first time. But I want to go for the top weight here. Equally fast. Arrives here on the back of a pretty disappointing run at Haydock, but conditions will be slightly different, you would imagine, here at Fosse Lass on Tuesday afternoon. Twice the winner on the all-weather earlier on in the year. Had been running okay in handicaps before that slightly poor run at Haydock last time. But as I say, I'm going to forgive him. I'm willing to forgive him that outing. And if you go back, that's to look at some of the further runs, and moves third in a decent little contest at Brighton prior to that, off a mark of 81. He's been running in slightly better races than this, and he can now drop down into a 0-80 after that disappointing run at Haydock last time out. As I say, he'd been running in some decent contests before that, 0-85s and 0-90s. So this is a slight step down in grade. So equally fast is the pick in the 6.25.
Good stuff. Thanks, Gary. Do you want to just relay your selections for us then in a nice little tidy bundle to finish with?
Of course. Yeah, in the 3.10 at Beverley, double up. In the 4.30 at Warwick, Let Be So. In the 4.45 at Beverley, Billy Bond. And in the 6.25, equally fast.
Superb. Thank you very much, Gary. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Will do.
There you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. With myself in the studio with Kevin O'Malley and Craig Forsyth. Beverley, Lingfield and Warwick are the afternoon meetings. We've also got a twilight meeting from Fosse Lass. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.